when Pastor asked me to preach, when we found out we were coming down here and he asked me to preach, and I kind of, you may not know this because you don't know. I mean, my family knows, and I'm sure your pastor knows as well. Brother Pineda knows this, but I'm kind of a procrastinator. And so I kind of waited till the last minute to start getting a message prepared. And I was, had been preaching on prayer the last few weeks at our church, where I'm the assistant pastor. And I thought, well, I'll just take one of those and we'll preach it again or whatever the case may be. And we got into town and I actually had this message kind of skeletonized, I guess. And I just started working on this and it works out well. Listen, you guys are going to have Operation Saturation Saturday coming up in just a few days. And the Lord, there's no coincidences with God. There are really not. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you. If you found your spot in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, if you'll stand, and we're going to read a few verses here and we'll stand in honor of God's word. Matthew in chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I want to preach to you this night, just tonight, for a few minutes. Well, I lied. It's going to be more than a few minutes, but I want to preach to you tonight about caring for souls. As we go into the Operation Saturation Saturday and even beyond that, listen, I got hired at my church where I'm at. I'm the outreach pastor. I don't necessarily work with the youth. I do things with them. We do some things with the adults as well, but my job, my primary function is to go out and knock doors. That's what I do. And so this was even a blessing for me or trying to use it as encouragement for me because we have to, as Christians, we got to care for souls. Amen. If we're not going to care for souls, then we're doing the wrong thing. But let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you again just for this time that we have. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that you've given to me that I might preach in the stead of Pastor Pineda. Lord, I pray that you would just use this as a blessing for his people. Lord, I pray that you would use this as a time of encouragement. Perhaps there's folks in here that go out knocking doors with their pastor and with others in the church faithfully. Perhaps there's some in here who have wanted to. Maybe it's their coworker they need to speak with, as we heard in that prayer request earlier, or perhaps maybe they just want to go, but they don't know what to do, or maybe they're just frightful. Lord, I pray that you would use this as an encouragement. Perhaps maybe some of us in here, we used to go, but we just don't do it anymore. We've gotten busy, or things in life have taken place of leading, of just witnessing, showing somebody the gospel. Either way, Lord, I pray that we would seek your word tonight. I pray that your word would speak to us through the Holy Spirit and his guidance. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over us, keep a hedge of protection upon this church tonight as we seek to look into the thing of soul winning and God just being better at doing that. Lord, would you please bless? Would you please just be with us? And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. There was a man named Christopher Searcy. He was playing basketball one day with his friends back in on May 16th of 1998, and he was shot in the chest. And when he was shot, the bullet perforated his aorta. His friends helped him to get within about 40 feet of the entrance of Ravenswood Hospital, and then they went inside to ask for help. They couldn't carry him anymore. He needed help, and they ran inside to ask for help. And the hospital staff then refused to help Christopher. Their reasoning for this, or what they said, was that it was against hospitals' policies to administer any aid to somebody who was outside of the hospital, and so they weren't able to go out there. Eventually, a policeman was able to stop and get a wheelchair, and he wheeled Christopher into the hospital, where he was helped by the hospital staff. Unfortunately, though, for Christopher, it was too late. And he died about an hour after getting admitted into the hospital. Listen, many times it seems that churches are surrounded by people that are desperately in desperate need to hear the gospel, yet we as Christians were content to share it with only those who managed to come inside these four walls. We feel like it's against our policy to go out and maybe tell other peoples about the gospel. Psalm chapter 142 and verse 4, the Bible says, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul." Listen, there are billions of people in this world today, tonight, that nobody cares for their soul. There are literally billions of people in this world who are going to die one day, or when the Lord comes back, whichever happens first, who are going to go to hell because nobody cares for their soul. Listen, what I want to try to convey tonight and what I hope that we can get across, and not just here at Liberty Baptist Church, but in all of our lives, wherever we're at, if we're just visiting, maybe we're back from college. Mikey, it's good to see you, brother. Maybe we're here from Kansas and we've got other things to do when we get back. Or maybe we're just faithful to this church tonight. Hey, listen, we need to care for the souls of others. Hey, it's safe to say, I think, that there are also millions of people in this world that no one will ever pray for them. No one will ever tell them about Jesus. Or no one will ever come across somebody who is a Christian who can witness before them. They just won't. But there are people who we come in contact to every day. There are people that we can pray for every day. There are people that we can lead to the Lord. There are people that we can share the gospel with. The problem is, I think that there are too many Christians, such as myself. Hey, listen, one thing I like to do, just for all of you who haven't heard me preach, and which is everybody except for my family, I try really hard not to point fingers at you. And the reason why is because, listen, I'm probably have, as this man prayed earlier, listen, it's only by God's mercy that I'm breathing today. It's only by His grace that I'm saved today. And if I'm going to preach at anybody, I'm going to preach at myself. So I'll just give you guys that for a minute. But what I want to say is there are Christians today who, listen, we're saved. I like this. A preacher said, hey, we're saved and we're hell-proof and heaven-bound, but yet we don't care about lost souls at all. Well, you might say, well, I care about lost souls. When was the last time you tried to witness to them then? Hey, listen, I'm guilty of this. I'll walk past people all day long and I'll think about, well, I probably should witness to them. And then I just walk off, or I make excuses. I don't have a track. That's an awful excuse for somebody who can memorize verses. Amen. Just memorize a verse. You don't need a track. Just go up and tell them about the Lord. But where we saw tonight in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, and where we read, hey, listen, that is a contrast to the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks down on the people and he has a passion for the souls that brought him from heaven to earth. Hey, listen, think about this for just a moment. In Luke in chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Listen, the reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth was for the souls of man. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, then we ought to be careful, or we ought to care for the souls of man. Amen. If we're going to say that we are like Jesus, then we ought to be like Jesus. And his passion, his motivation was the souls of man. It was his passion that propelled him to that old rugged cross where he gave his life to save a lost sinner like me, one who is unworthy. But I'm thankful for Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8, where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And he didn't just die for you, and he didn't just die for me, but he died for everybody. Hey, we need to begin to care for souls a little bit. In this passage that we see, listen, Jesus looks upon the multitudes and he has gathered around him. He looks upon the people that he has there. And let's face it, a lot of these folks that are gathered around him, some of them, they don't care about Jesus. They just want to see the miracles. Hey, some of them don't really care to come to the knowledge of the Lord. They just want to see, a few fishes and a few loaves of bread feed the multitudes again. They just want to see somebody walk on water maybe again. Maybe they saw Peter walk on water that one day with Jesus and they said, oh my goodness, I want to see that again. Or maybe they just saw some kind of miracle. Maybe they saw the maniac at Gadara get cleansed, and maybe they've seen lepers be healed and blind men who can see. Whatever the case may be, a lot of them are just there for the miracles. And Jesus looks at them as helpless and hopeless and hurting people. And Jesus gives us a few things when we look in this passage. Listen, he is moved with compassion. And if we would start looking at people the same way that Jesus did, hey, it might cause us to have a heart for sinners that motivated Jesus the way that he did. Amen? I want to look just a few minutes tonight and figure out how we can care for souls the way that Jesus cared for souls. And again, I'm not saying in any way that I'm better at this. Matter of fact, I think I've got the most to learn. Listen, it's my job to go out and lead people to Christ. It's all of our job, but I get paid to do it. And I got to say, if anybody needs this, I do. So as I preach to myself, I hope that you'll listen. Look back in verse 36. The first thing that we got to figure out, the first thing that we need to see is, listen, Jesus saw their departure from God. In verse 36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Listen, Jesus saw them as sheep that had no shepherd. He saw them as those that were scattered abroad. Hey, listen, he saw them as people who were in desperate need, hopeless. One thing that we've been learning as we live, you know, out in the sticks and we've had animals now, and we've raised goats and we have rabbits and we've had chickens, and it's all a lot of fun. It's definitely different than the city life, that's for sure. But the one things that we've learned and the one things that people have told us and I've heard is when you have a sheep, that's the one thing we haven't raised yet, but I think some of our girls are trying to get them. I guess they're a little smelly, so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they'll keep them way out in the back and we won't have to worry about it. But when you have a sheep, if they get lost, they just wander. You know, if you have a dog, if you have a goat even, a lot of times if you even have a cow, a horse, some other kind of livestock, generally if they get lost, they'll make their way back to their food source, or they'll make their way back to where they've lived before. They find their way back somehow. With a sheep, though, usually if they get lost, they just disappear. They get away from the shepherd and from that guidance and from that protection. They get away from their home and they're just scattered abroad. There's nowhere else to go. And so Jesus sees this multitude and he understands they're like sheep that have no shepherd. In other words, they're just walking blindly. They're just walking around. They have no comfort. They have no home. They have no shepherd. Listen, they're apart from where they ought to be. Sheep who are alone, they do not do well. Amen. They fall to predators. And as Jesus saw these people, he saw the same with that compassion. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of his promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Listen, Jesus looks down and he sees the souls of men that are stranded and that are lost and that are going to get swallowed up by the god of this world, that devil. They're going to get swallowed up and they're going to be destroyed. And listen, we as Christians need to understand that this world has gone away from God and is fastly moving away from God, but that doesn't mean that we ought to stop trying to bring the sheep back to the fold. Amen?
Amen.
Just because the world's going this way doesn't mean we can't grab a few and bring them back to where the Lord wants them to be. And I understand that there's different excuses. I understand that there's different things that cause us to maybe not want to go out. There's different motivations that we might have. But listen, we all need to be a witness. Amen? If only we would see the people the way Jesus saw them, perhaps it would be easier. And Jesus looks on the multitudes. He has compassion on them. He understands that they're like sheep that have gone astray, that they're scattered abroad. Listen, they've departed from God. There is no longer that sense of urgency for God. Hey, it used to be a time not too long ago where churches were full. Amen? They were full. Sunday mornings, they were full. Sunday nights, they were full. Wednesday nights, they were full because people understand they needed God. Hey, but we're in a world now where there's a departure from God. And as we look at these souls, hey, a lot of the times, you'll knock on a door and you ask somebody if they know about Jesus and they don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
They've strayed that far. Listen, we know about Jesus. Amen? We know about him. It's our job to tell him. So Jesus, first he sees their departure from God, and then he sees their depravity of their sin. Again, the Bible says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Why is he moved with compassion? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Listen, Jesus wasn't talking about physical fainting. He wasn't talking about their physical needs at this point, that they were tired, that they were sitting there, you know, falling asleep, or they were just tired from the long journey. Listen, he was moved with compassion because these people were lost. They were under the burden of sin. And I'm here to tell you tonight, listen, sin carries a burden. Amen.
Right.
It does. And we think that we can carry this load, but we can't. And we think, hey, no one will notice, but they will. Why? Because it becomes burdensome. And whether we're lost or saved, that sin becomes a load that we cannot bear. And Jesus saw their spiritual fainting. He saw that they were lost and under the burden of sin. And listen, he had compassion on them. In Psalm chapter 38 and verse 3, the Bible says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for my iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Listen, my sins are too heavy for me, but I can go to the Savior at any time and confess my sins to Him. And the Bible says that He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Listen, I can do that. Why? Because I've trusted in the Lord as my Savior. I've called on Him for salvation. I've turned on Him to be my King and the King of Kings and my Savior. Amen. But there are those that are lost under this burden of sin, and they can never remove it because they don't know the Lord. And Jesus looks down and He sees their spiritual beings and He has compassion on them, because all He wants to do is for people to come to Him. Listen, He's moved with compassion on the lost. We are surrounded by men and women today who are capable to do about anything that you can imagine. Well, not here. Well, actually, I say that when I'm in like small town Kansas, not here. Albuquerque, you can say, yeah, that's true. Right? Hey, listen, we see on the news every day of horrendous activities that are going on. We see it in the Middle East. We see it closer to home. Hey, listen, not too long ago, a worker in Oklahoma was decapitated by her coworker because he was a Muslim and she was a Christian, and she tried to lead him to Christ. Hey, listen, there's wicked people in this world. There's depravity in this world. And we're surrounded by men and women who are capable to do about anything. And some would say, that's just those wicked people. That's not me. Listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Hey, it's not just us Christians that have to take heed. It's everybody. But listen, we can come to the Lord anytime we want. They can't. They don't have that privilege. And Jesus sees that and He says, I have compassion on them. Why? Because I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? These people need to be reached. The depravity of this world, it can't be conquered until the Lord returns. However, we as Christians can reach them with a compassion, as just being the compassion of Christ as we go out as a soul winner. Listen, we can go and we can tell somebody about the Lord. Amen? But if I'm not looking at my neighbor, if I'm not looking at my dad and my brother, my sisters, my coworkers, as another soul, but I'm only looking at them as just a person, I'll never have compassion on them. I just won't. You want to know why? I'm busy. I'm real busy. We got 7 kids. I'm working full time. My wife works at the home, so she works full time. You know, we're busy. And so if I stop looking at people like souls, guess what? I have no time for them. I just don't. And it's not because I don't love the Lord. It's not even because I don't love them. I just don't have time. But Jesus, as He's going with these multitudes, He stops for a moment and He looks at them, and being moved with compassion. Why? Because they fainted. They were scattered abroad. He saw them in their spiritual state. He stopped looking at them as people, but He saw them in His spiritual state, and He's moved with compassion. Listen, He sees their departure from God. He sees their depravity of their sin. He sees their destiny in hell. Think about this for a moment. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, it also goes on to say that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, which means that Jesus Christ was the Word of God, which means Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning, which means before hell was created, Jesus Christ was there, which means Jesus Christ created hell for Satan, which means Jesus Christ knows what hell is. And as He sees these people, He has compassion because He knows that unless they come unto Him, they will be in a devil's hell.
Yeah.
Amen? Hell wasn't created. The missionary said it on Sunday, I think. Hell wasn't created for man. It was created for Satan. Listen, Satan is a spiritual being. If we can't fathom what heaven's going to be like, do you think we can fathom what hell is going to be like? If we can't fathom, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for them. Something like that. I kind of messed that up. But listen, the whole point of it is we can't imagine how beautiful heaven is for those who love the Lord. It means we can never imagine how awful hell is for those who reject the Lord. And Jesus sees them and he has compassion on them. Why? Because he knows that their destiny is to go into hell unless they come to him. Listen, he knew that apart from him, they would all be in hell. Hey, no wonder he's moved with compassion, because Jesus doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And if I would have that same compassion and say, I don't want you to go to hell. Hey, listen, big brother, I don't want you to go to hell. Hey, listen, dad, I don't want you to go to hell. Hey, coworker, I don't want you to go there. Might change the way I see things sometimes. Listen, as a Christian, I need to have that same vision. I'm going to ask you a question. If we really believe that there's a hell, and we really believe that hell is going to be the way that I think it's going to be, which isn't anywhere close, if we really believe that the Bible talks about this awful, awful place, then why are we not telling more people about the Lord? Why? And I can't speak for you, because I haven't seen you on a Saturday morning with your pastor. I don't know how many people are going to be here this Saturday to start Operation Saturation. I hope it's everybody in this building. But I can tell you from personal experience, and I can tell you from learning from other pastors' experiences, that a pastor would have to get up in the pulpit and beg his church members to come to witness to other people. Beg them to come out on a Saturday morning soul winning. Please just come out with me. And the reason why we're begging is because we're just so tired of going by ourselves. We need help. And the whole congregation sits there, just nods their head. Yes, Pastor, I agree with you. You need help. And then Saturday morning shows up and we're off to do it alone again. Hey, listen, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but I'm saying all of us have a job to do. Amen. All of us have a job, and that job is to witness to others. And if we would really believe, and if we would really have that same vision that Christ did, we would see that the folks are dying and going to hell. We would see that that is their final place for them, that is their destiny, and we would have compassion on their souls as Christ did. Think about this for just a moment. Even people in hell are concerned about those that are going to hell. Yeah. In Luke in chapter 16 and verse 27, of course, leading up to this point, we know Lazarus and the rich man, which is not a parable, by the way, because Lazarus is named by name. You'll learn that in the Bible Institute, so go, amen. But listen, they both die. Lazarus is taken to the Abraham's bosom, to paradise, and the rich man is taken to hell. And straightway, the Bible says, he lifted up his eye in torment. In verse 27 of Luke chapter 16, it says this, Luke 16, 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, talking about Lazarus, would you please bring Lazarus back, send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Yeah. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he, being Abraham, said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Yeah, that's right. Listen, even those that are in hell are crying out, please don't come here. Please don't come here. Send somebody. God, would you send somebody? And I promise you, they're crying out to God. God, I'm sorry. Give me one more chance. Give me my parents one more chance. Give me my friends one more chance. Somebody. Perhaps he's given us chance after chance after chance. Perhaps I was that chance. Look, people all around us are going to die and go to hell. And what if one day God hears from your family member, or God hears from your friend who maybe was taken from this world too early, and he says, okay, I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to send one more chance, and here I come, or here you come. and we're walking by that person, and God says, I want you to stop and tell them about Jesus. And we look at them and we say, no, God, look at the tattoos on them. They won't listen. Hey, no, look at the lowrider there, and they won't listen. Hey, look at, they're just hillbillies. They won't listen to me. I'm just going to keep going. God, they don't want to know. And God looks down and he says, I'm sorry, but I gave them one more chance. Do you know in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 7, the Bible says, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hands. That's a sad verse.
Yeah.
God says, hey, I'm going to convict them of their sins. And I'm going to show them their need of salvation. And unless you tell them when I put them in your way that they're going to die and go to hell, guess what? They're going to die and go to hell. And it's not going to be their fault. I'm going to require their blood at your hands. And I'm going to come before God in that day. And as they're standing before me and they're standing before God being judged and thrown into an eternal hell, an eternal torment, the lake of fire, the Bible says they're going to look at me and they say, why? Why? And with blood on my hands and tears streaming down my face, I'll say, I don't know. I should have told you. I didn't have compassion. I didn't love you enough to tell you. He saw their departure from the God. He saw the depravity of their sins. Listen, he saw that they had their destiny in hell. Jesus also saw that there was despair without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Listen, they were without a shepherd. They were without the blessings of the church. They were without the blessings of salvation. Hey, listen, because I'm saved, I can pray to God and He'll hear my prayer. Because I'm saved, I have companionship with the Lord. Because I'm saved, I have peace and I have joy and I have rest and I have satisfaction. And some days, the Christian walk is not all that it's cracked up to be. Some days, even as we heard on Sunday night, hey, listen, there's going to be problems and there's going to be trials and there's going to be temptations and there's going to be times where I want to give up and I want to give in. But the fact of the matter is this, listen, I am saved and I have the blessings with God. Hey, listen, I have the peace that passeth all understanding. I have companionship with the Lord. Hey, God created man that we might have fellowship with Him. Amen. And so when I'm saved and I come to God, I'm coming and I'm spending time. I'm communing with the God who created everything. But those that are lost, they don't. Hey, listen, I guarantee you, ask somebody. Ask somebody who's lost and in drugs or in alcohol. Ask them why they got started. And I guarantee their answer is going to be this. I was looking for something to fill the void. Something to that effect. I know that because that was my answer. I was looking for something to fill the hole that I had in my heart. Hey, listen, I know what you got. I know what you need. I can fill that hole. Amen. Let me tell you about Jesus. Listen, that would be a good starting point right there. Amen. The lost world knows nothing about these things, and it's our duty as Christians to tell them about Jesus. Our hearts ought to be broken because the world doesn't know Jesus as Savior. So what do we do? That's what Jesus saw. And I told you, if we would just see Jesus the way that He saw them, we could do something. Verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So what do we do? Bible says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Listen, Jesus challenges disciples, yea, Jesus sends his disciples to make the difference. Think about this for a moment. As Jesus has compassion on these people, he looks over his disciples and he gives them the burden on their shoulders. And he says, here's what you're going to do. Here's what I need you to do. When you get into this book, God's going to put some burdens on your shoulders. But he's going to say, here's what I need you to do. And I'm telling you this, Jesus, when he said that his burden was easy and his yoke was easy and his burden was light, it wasn't just a metaphor. Listen, when we go through this world as Christians and we go through this world truly living for Christ, there's going to be burdens, there's going to be trials, but when we're yoked with Jesus, hey, he makes it easy, amen? Amen. He makes it lighter, amen? That burden is not there, but yet that burden is not heavy, I should say, but it is still there. And so Jesus places the responsibility, the burden of, on the shoulders of these people. Though he will be with them, he needs us to do it. Though Jesus will be with us, he needs us to do it. What do we need to do? He says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Listen, we need to visualize what it is. He says, the harvest is plenteous. He gives his disciples something that they can see. They can see a harvest. They can recognize what a harvest means. We live in corn country and bean country, and we can tell, you know, the corn's up. The corn that they grow in our area, though, it's not for us to eat. It's for grain, for seed, for the cattle and everything. And so, if you would drive through any other place, the stalks would be nice and green and the silk would be out and it'd be like, that is harvest time. That's the ones you want to buy at the store, nice and sweet. But for us, you drive through and it's like the stalks are dead and orange, you know, yellow and orange. And those are the ones that you just walk through the maze for, you know, that's about it. And so you're driving by and you're thinking, man, that's kind of dying. But the farmers at the same time are going, man, we're just about right. Just about right. Hey, Jesus gives his disciples here a visualization. I'll get it out one of these days. See the harvest. He says the harvest truly is plenteous. Listen, we need to recognize that not everybody is saved. Amen. We need to understand that in this world that we live in, yea, there are many, like I said a moment ago, that haven't even heard of Jesus Christ. And if they have heard of Jesus Christ, it's only because of Christmas, maybe because of Easter. And the only reason why they know those anymore is because they're going to get presents on both. Amen. They're going to get chocolate on one and they're going to get presents on the other. For kids these days, they get presents both times, which makes no sense to me at all. Hey, listen, we should ought to be offering gifts up to the Lord on his birthday, but we ought to be celebrating his resurrection, not with candies, but with praises. Amen. But that's a whole nother sermon. I don't have time for that. Hey, but what we need to do is we need to visualize and recognize that there are people everywhere in this world that we come in contact to every day that are on the edge and the verge of everlasting damnation. Amen. I think I'd rather ask somebody if they're saved and have them say, even rudely, which happens most of the time, yes, I'm saved. By the way, hey, listen, if somebody asks you if you're saved and you truly are, don't be rude to them. Rejoice with them. Amen? Hey, thanks for caring enough for my soul that you might ask me. But listen, I'd rather ask somebody if they're saved than have them tell me yes than not ask at all. Because the fact of the matter is, the majority of them that pass by me aren't. Amen? Visualize it. Yeah, I can visualize that corn crop. I can visualize the hundreds of thousands of ears of corn in these acreage. It's not just one little plot. I mean, it's acres upon acres and just full of corn. And each stalk has one or two pieces of corn on it. And so there's thousands, yeah, hundreds of thousands of corn cobs out on this field. And each one of those kernels on that corn is a seed that they're going to either plant back in the ground for next year or they're going to turn into feed. And so I can visualize the millions and billions of pieces of corn in this field, though I can't comprehend it because it's too many for me to count, I can still visualize just by looking at it. And Jesus says, listen, visualize it. Hey, listen, the harvest is plenteous. I want you to see when you walk into that field, it needs to be gleaned. It is coming soon. But here's the thing, we're never going to reap something if we don't enter the field first. Amen. Good. Hey, I can be a farmer with all the equipment. I can even be at my house with a tomato plant, but if I don't walk out there and actually pick it, then it does nothing for me. Amen. I can visualize all I want. The problem is I think some of us, we visualize a lot, but we don't go in that field. Listen, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, just go. Just go visualize the need. Hey, understand that everybody out there is not saved. And understand even those who say they are saved, chances are they're not. Hey, listen, not to make anybody doubt their salvation, but the goodness gospel right now that's being preached and the prosperity gospel and whatever else you want to call it, hey, it's leading people straight to hell.
Yeah.
because it's not the true gospel of Christ. Amen. And so you might even say, hey, do you know you're going to heaven? They say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. And you say, well, how are you going to get there? They say, oh, well, I'm a good person. Sorry, my friends, that's not going to get you there. Amen. But we got to get into that field first if we're ever going to reap anything. Listen, we got to visualize, see the harvest. Then we need to agonize. Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then he says, pray ye therefore. Listen, we need to agonize about this. Hey, this is a call to be brokenhearted and burdened over the lost. Listen, we need to be in constant prayer for them that are lost. We need to come to God. And I got to tell you this, just to be honest with you, just because your preacher is my best friend, your pastor is my best friend, I got to be honest with you. I can't leave anything on the table. If there's a weakness in my life, it is that I don't pray for the lost the way that I should. There's a song, you know, I forget exactly how it goes, but it talks about, you know, you weep for your loved one who's sick, you weep for those loved ones who have died, but then it goes on to say, well, when's the last time that you've wept for the soul? I can't remember last time I got on my knees and wept for a soul. Not even my own family members. How awful is that? Listen, we need to visualize. There's a harvest coming. By the way, the Lord's coming soon. Amen. There's an old saying, you know, he's one day closer than he was yesterday. And that might have been a joke a little while ago, but listen, he's close to coming back. Amen. He may come back before I'm even done with this. And that's all right if he comes back. But until he comes back, listen, we need to look for the lost and bring them in. Amen. And we need to pray, therefore. We need to be in constant prayer for them. We need to seek the Lord for them. Now, listen, I'm not saying that you got to fall on your face and just weep bitter tears every single day for that lost one. If the Lord leads you to do that, that's okay. But at least we should at some point in our life weep for somebody that's lost. Hey, maybe the Lord brings them onto your mind to pray and you're driving down the freeway. You can't really just close your eyes and start crying or you're going to meet the Lord sooner than you'll meet them, amen. But maybe he put that on your mind so you can think about them till you get home, and think about them till you get in your room, and think about them till you take your shoes off, and you think about them till you get by the side of your bed, and you think about them till you lay down on your face and you cry out to God that they would get saved, and you would weep and weep, amen. Amen. Whoo! I need to stop this. I'm getting a little convicted here. Okay, I'm going to the next point. I'm done with that. I can't do that. Listen, we need to be constantly praying and seeking the Lord for the lost souls to win. All of us in here know people that are lost today. We can start with them, you might say, but I don't know who to pray for. Pray for your loved ones. Amen. Pray for your friends. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for the person that held the door for you at Walmart. I don't care. But pray for somebody. Be brokenhearted about somebody. Listen, we visualize them, we agonize over them, and then listen, it's not enough to pray and to visualize, but we have to evangelize. He says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's not enough to see the need, nor is it enough to pray for the lost or even to be concerned with their souls. But we all need to go out into the harvest and labor. Amen. We can go out and preach the gospel. The Bible says to every creature. I was knocking doors not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and this boxer got out of its house. And, this boxer did not like me at all. And it came after me, and I'm thinking, oh, mercy, I'm done for, you know. And I guess it would have been good for me just to start preaching at it. The next time that happens, I'm going to start preaching at it and see what it does. Listen, you are dead. You're dying to go to hell. You know, whatever. I'll do something to get him. But he was coming after me. Hey, listen, we got to get out. By the way, if you go out and witness, you go out and knock doors, you'll have funny stories like that.
Yeah.
They're scary at the time, but, man, they're funny. Talk about them later. You'll crack up. I tell you, it's a good time. Your adrenaline will be pumping for a little while, but it's a good time. And all that does, it makes it easier to unlock the door when your hands are shaking. You just put it up there and knocks the door real easy too. Listen, we can all do the work of the evangelist. Amen. It's not just your pastor's job to do it. It's not just the missionary who comes through. It's not just his job to do it. It's not even just the faithful few who come. Now listen, you're here on a Wednesday night, and so I understand that you are the faithful few. Amen. I understand that. I pastored a small church, and so I understand those that are here on a Wednesday night are typically the ones that are going to go out with your pastor. So I appreciate that. But listen, it's not just his job, it's all of our jobs. And you might say, well, I'm just a teenager. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Listen, you can reach teenagers that we'll never be able to reach.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just a kid. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can reach that child that we can't reach. Listen, I can't go into an elementary school or into a middle school and start preaching. Amen. Pretty soon, none of us will be able to, probably, but do it anyways. Don't let them tell you you can't. You can. Listen, I can't. I knock on a door, and a 16-year-old girl walks to the door and answers the door, and if there's no parents home or anything, I can't talk to that person. I give her a track. I say goodbye. Why? Because I can't do it. But listen, there might be somebody that your pastor will never talk to that you will.
That's right.
Listen, coworkers, we'll never meet your coworkers. We'll never meet somebody up in Chicago, right? Well, you guys will never meet anybody in Kansas. Well, you might if you come visit us. And you can come visit us. That's fine. You're all invited. But we can all touch somebody. We can all reach somebody that none of us else can. Amen? If that made sense. Listen, let's do the work of an evangelist. So let me just finish this real quick, and I've got a question or two for you. First question, what are you doing to keep people out of hell? And I don't want an answer, because trust me, you don't want my answer. What are you doing to keep men out of hell, and are you having any success? You know, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Listen, God's plan is that his people, us, would bear the good news, the gospel. By the way, that's what gospel means, is good news. And it's the good news of the salvation of the Lord, the grace of God that has come down to man by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right. And then if we would just repent of our of the direction that we're going, if we would just turn from our works and from the self-righteousness that we have, if we would turn from our religion, our baptism, or whatever else we're trusting in, and turn to Christ and accept him as our Savior, listen, that's what we need to do. And that's God's plan for all of us. Amen. And it is our plan as a Christian then to bear that good news, that gospel to the dying world. And it is the greatest job that we could ever have in this whole world. Amen. The greatest as in not always the best. Like I said, it's scary sometimes. Man, you might be scared knocking on that door, and you're going to go and you're going to get to that first door, and you're going to walk up and you're gonna be like, no, I can't do it. You know, the devil's going to try to trick you. And then after you knock that first door, it's crazy. And everybody will tell you this. You knock that first door and it's like, oh, all the nerves are gone. You're like, all right, let's go. We can do this. But the devil's going to trick you. He's going to convince you that you're not worthy of this job. Listen, but if we can each reach one for Christ, we have altered the soul or the eternity for somebody. And listen, then we can go forth and do it again. Psalms 126 and verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Listen, that is a promise of God. Hey, if we sow in tears, we'll reap in joy. But listen, if we go forth and weepeth, if we bear that precious seed, that gospel of God, the word of God, listen, we're going to doubtless come again. In other words, we will come again with rejoicing, and we'll bring our sheaves with him. Hey, listen, we need to just go out and have a care for souls, a compassion that the Lord had. The time is short and the laborers are few. And there's a lot of work to do. Amen. There's a lot of work to do. Maybe tonight, as we have an invitation in just a moment, we should come before the Lord. Maybe we ought to confess to him that we're not doing everything that we should. Yea, not that we're not doing everything that we could be doing to witness to people. Perhaps then God has laid on your heart somebody, even during this message, a name on your heart. And maybe you can come to this altar tonight and just weep for a little bit. Come to God. Perhaps he's laid on your heart just to come to him. Get some things right with him. We're going to have an invitation time in just a moment, and your pastor's going to do it. I'm not sure how he conducts it because we didn't get to see it the other night. Praise the Lord, we didn't. Amen. He was in the back with somebody else. And they're going over the Bible, talking about salvation. That's how it needs to be. Amen. But we'll have an invitation in just a moment. And I challenge you, one of two things. Listen, if you're saved, I challenge you to come forward during this invitation time and ask God to help you to have more compassion, more care for those souls. And if you're in here and you're not saved, well, I challenge you to come during this invitation time, grab your pastor, say, "Pastor, I need to know the Lord." Amen. "I don't want to go to hell. Pastor, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know without Jesus Christ, I would die and go to hell. And I promise you, that man has compassion for this church. And he will not let you go to that place."